you will, in your Bibles this morning to Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 18. It's a story that of the potter. And I know you probably heard it before. When I grew up, I had the privilege of going not just to one school, but I had the privilege of going to three different schools. And every time you go to a new school, when you're a new kid on the block, you know, and you're always worrying if you're going to be accepted and will you have any friends there? Well, if you're a teacher's boy, you don't have any friends right off the bat, especially if your mother's a teacher. Well, I told Mother I got more whippings than any child in the room. I felt bad about that, but I got a whipping once a day, and then when I got home, I got another one, you know, and I guess I gave her a fit. I was down at a nursing home a few weeks ago, and she was at her right self, and we were talking, and one of the ladies had her hair cut pretty short, and I said something about her hair, and I said, "It looks good." Mother, nah. She didn't like it. And I said, "Well," I said, "yours used to be nice and red. Now it's got gray." And she said, "You put it there." I put gray hair. I couldn't believe she would tell me that. Well, you know, God sends us to many different things in life when we learn. Schools. Now, there's the schools of hard knocks. And, boy, you don't want to learn there because you pay some pretty good prices if you learn from the school of hard knocks. But in Proverbs 6:6, it tells us about the little thing called an ant. And I like to watch ants, especially when they crawl across sidewalks. They're crawling in a line. They're busy little fellows. And they are carrying their little sticks with them. They're preparing for the winter months that are coming on. And, you know, they follow each other's trail. And they do that so good until you mess it up. You mess their lines up, you know. Then they just go everywhere. And I like to do that. I like to mess their lines up. You know, it entertains myself. I can entertain my weak mind by just getting down there with those ants and messing their lines up. That's fun if you ever done that. They call me an agitator. I don't know why people do that. I don't agitate people. I just messed their minds up. And the Bible says you can learn from the little ant and consider how wise it is and the ways of the ant. Well, I went to many schools of hard knocks to learn the work that I would be doing in my life's career. And the Lord, I went to Him for the wisdom that I have. And I thank God that even though through those trying times, I have learned a lot. I've learned a lot about people and how to deal with people. And the best way to deal with people is shut the door and lock yourself in and leave them on the outside. Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus says we need to learn from the lessons that we have. And here in the Word of God in 18, the word of God came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my word." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the many blessings that you give us. And Lord, as we come here to hear your word, Lord, speak to our hearts that we might understand it at the point of our need. For I know that everyone here has a need in their life. And Lord, may they learn today from the potter and we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Jesus tells us that the fields are wide unto harvest, and there's a lot of people out in the fields that are lost, and we should care for the lost people. He's talking here about the potter and the clay that he's using here becoming marred. Now, in the Bible, we find many people that lives have become marred, okay? Moses, for one. Moses, he went down into the desert, and there he spent years learning. They were years of that God was teaching Moses patience, because Moses was going to go back to Egypt and lead the people out of Egypt to the promised land. And let me tell you, he would need the patience if he was going to lead these people. For these people were stubborn people. They were people that didn't get along very well. They murmured against everyone and Moses and God and all of these things. And Moses needed to learn that patience. And then as you look through the Bible, you'll find that there's also Daniel. Daniel was in the lion's den, you know, for praying. And Daniel needed to draw closer to God, and he learned that prayer would draw him to the very presence of God, and the very presence of God and his power could stop those hungry lions' mouths. So he learned that lesson. And then I love to read through the Bible, and you come to the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew children, and they learned in that school of hard knocks where they would be thrown into the fiery furnace. They learned that God's presence was with them no matter where they would go. God's presence would be there, and God would be with them. Now, folks, we need to learn that in our life, that no matter where we are in life, that God's presence is there. He's right here in our heart. If we're saved, he's there. That's always encouraging to me to know that no matter where I go in this world, that my God goes with me. You see, God is always there. And God used David. David was a man after God's heart. And David was, not only a man after God's heart, but David is one that needed to learn that when we fail, when we sin, we can come to God and confess our sin. And God is faithful and just to forgive us of that sin. Now, if we're here this morning, we've probably failed God in one way or form or fashion. I can think about 100 ways that I fail God just about every week. Folks, I sometimes wonder, how in the world can God use us as his ministers, as his children, because we fail him, don't we? We do things every day that disappoint him. But God shows us that if we confess our sin, man, he's faithful and just to forgive us and pick us back up and get us going again. And then, you know, the Bible says not only does God use people and giving them second chances in life, God uses little things. I can think about that David, when he stood before the giant Goliath, God said, David, go down there to that creek. And he picked up 5 smooth little stones. And oh, how God used that little stone to set his people free from those Philistines. And then I think about a while ago, I said the ant, just a little bitty ant. And God can use those ants. And, you know, I think about the grasshoppers, how God uses them. I heard a preacher talking one time about Noah and the ark, and he was on there, and a fly was flying around. It was one of these old churches that didn't have the modern-day conveniences, and they had the wasp and the flies. And, you know, sure enough, that fly kept flying around. And finally, when he sucked in a big breath of air, he sucked into that fly, and he began to sputter and spit. And, you know, finally he got that fly out of his mouth, and he said, I've never learned why God didn't tell Moses to swat those 2 flies and get rid of them things. But look at the birds of the field. I like to watch birds. It's nothing better than a sunrise watching how life comes alive. And you know, the first thing you're going to hear are those birds beginning to sing and chirp and all kinds of things. They let you know that God's creation is coming alive. And God used the dove, God used the raven, and God uses those little things in life that teach us lessons. Not only that, I see some precious children here. And I know that God uses little children to teach us faith, to teach us trust. I know that these little children will just about do anything you ask them to do because they trust you as a parent, you see? Because God uses those things. And in the Word of God, Jeremiah sees one of the great things being used, and that is a piece of clay, just a lowly piece of clay. And a potter, a humble potter in his house. And through this, Jeremiah would learn a valuable lesson. You see, the first thing he saw in the potter's house was a potter holding this vessel, a piece of clay. And I used to go to Marshall. In Marshall, they had Red River Pottery over there. And I'd go out in my break time after in college. You have a lot of time off waiting for your next classes. And I'd go out there and watch those potters make vessels and clay. And it was amazing. They could take that piece of clay and drop it down on that wheel and start putting water on it and taking their hands, and they'd move his hands and their thumbs, and that vessel would start to take shape. And Jeremiah watched this vessel being made. And as he made that vessel, God told Jeremiah what this was. And he says, "This vessel is Israel. You see, I have made Israel for a very specific purpose." I love that old saying. You know, God doesn't make junk, and I know I'm going to be somebody because he doesn't make junk. And man, I thank God for making me just like he's made me. All through the years, had these things happen in life. And every one of them, I can tell you, God was using them to make me just like he's made me today. Oh, I grew up with brothers and sisters, and I would know how it is to raise brothers because ours were 8 years younger, and I grew up with a brother that was 2 years older than I was, and we had a great time. And we raised our twin brothers 8 years later because we were old enough to keep them, and we learned a lot of things from them. And then, you know, our little sister came along, and then we had to raise her. But I thank God for those times that we had together. And I thank God that he uses us as Christians, vessels, to deal with people and to work with people and tell people, you know, that God is a God of love. And God loves you so much that he gave his son for you. And God wants you to be something very precious in his kingdom. You see, when we're saved, we're his children. And every child is very special. I never will forget my oldest brother passing away. And, you know, we say some senseless things. And I was sitting there with my father and my mother, and our older brother had passed away, and he was there. And in the house, we were talking about his life and the things that we're going to miss. And I heard a lady and a husband come by, and they said, meaning to bring comfort, but they said, "Ed, you just thank God you got some more boys." And Dad said, "Yes, but I thank God also that I had Kent." He says, "You know, you can't replace them with more boys. They're all different. And I believe we all had different personalities. But, oh, you know, we're precious. Every child in God's kingdom is very precious." And the Bible tells us that we are chosen vessels unto God to bear his name, you see. And they were chosen vessels unto God to bear his name before the Gentiles and the kings and the other people that came along. And we look at Paul over in the New Testament. Paul was a very special vessel in 1 Thessalonians 4, that every one of you, he says, should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. You see, we need to learn how to control our lives and possess this vessel that we might be separated from the things down here on earth, yet walk according to God's perfect will in our life, that we might bring others to know him. That's what we're here for. He told his disciples, look into the fields, for they are wide unto harvest. But the laborers are so few. And let me tell you something. You are valuable to God this morning. You're a very precious vessel to be used of God in his kingdom. And yet we're supposed to be separated from the world. 2 Timothy 2:21, it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Man, the Bible says if we'll just obey God's word, we'll get in the center of God's word, he'll make us a vessel. He'll prepare us to reach people for him, for every good work. How were the vessels made? Well, let me tell you, in the potter's hands, as he made that vessel, he could make that vessel big. He could make that vessel small. He could make that vessel with a handle on it. He could make that vessel without a handle on it. You see, God uses all kinds of vessels. Some of us are short and some of us are tall. Some of us are skinny and some of us are like me. But you know what? God makes us, each one of us, for his purpose. To use for a purpose. The potter would get the elements together and he would get that clay and he'd put that clay on that wheel and he would start to work with us. And you know, the moment we're saved, the Bible says the Spirit of God comes into our life and seals us, and we're his child, we're God's child. And then he starts to work on us. Now, you're not going to grow overnight to be a mature Christian, but it's the work that God is doing. You see, he's bringing us along. Saw an old boy the other day that I surrendered to the ministry with, and Brother Howard and I was down in Jacksonville, and he came into a restaurant there, and I saw him, and we surrendered to the ministry about the same time. He went one way, and I went the other. He started pastoring a church down in Lone Oak, and he stayed there for years. Man, I tell you what, that same man is the man who kicked me out of his house for telling him about Christ a few years before that. He said, get out of my house, Booney. Don't want you here. You're messing up the ball game. He was watching the Dallas Cowboys, and I was trying to tell him about Christ. See, I was trying to tell him about the things he would need in life, but he didn't have any use for Christ at that time. But, you know, afterwards he came to know Christ and his whole life changed. And God was using him. He was using him, he just didn't know it. He's a big old boy. But let me tell you something. God starts with us where we're at and he works on us and he keeps working on us. It says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's our lives, isn't it? We were dead without Christ at one time. We were in our trespasses. We were in our sins. And then God took us And he's made us into something very special, just like the potter took this piece of clay and he started making that vessel. And then look at verse 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands. It became marred in the hands of the potter. Something happened. Something was in that clay that put a flaw in that vessel, and whatever it was rendered it useless. Wasn't any good anymore. Now, in our lives, that flaw is sin. We start out good, don't we? Adam and Eve was in the garden, and they had perfect fellowship with God. They walked with God. There was nothing wrong in their life. But there's some little thing that came into their life that marred their life, and it was called sin. And they disobeyed God. They chose to disobey God. And since they disobeyed God, that sin has passed on to every man, you see. And we're all sinners by nature, and we have that sin inside of us, and it mars us. But oh, thank God, while we were dead in our trespasses and sin, God so loved us that he gave his son for us. Aren't you glad God just didn't throw you away and forget you forever? Aren't you glad that God called you by his Holy Spirit? Aren't you glad that God still works? Man, I am so glad that God called me out of that sin into life. Some great and useful vessels that became marred were one I think about was Samson. Samson was called of God. Man, I tell you, what a great giant of God he was. But he came marred, didn't he? And he sinned, and that sin led to where he was blinded by the Philistines and beaten and burdened to work for them. But he came back to God. Aren't you glad God gives us a second chance? I tell you, there's not a person in here that had probably not had a second chance or a third chance or a fourth chance. And he became a vessel for honor before he died. Oh, let me tell you something. We have decided to do things our way many times, and we become bound up by the enemy, the old devil himself. And he's blinded us, and he's beaten us, and he's burdened us, and he's made us a slave. You know, that where we doubt and we wonder and we sit at home and we wonder if God can ever use us. To God's children who were once a vessel for honor, they've been separated so many times from God. And let me tell you, when we're marred and we stay in our sin, we cannot be used of God. But David, I thank God for that man David, because the Bible says he was a great king and he became a great leader, but he became marred, didn't he? Committed sin and he committed adultery and committed murder, and, you know, God restored him. Isn't that wonderful to know that God restored him? Did you know that no matter what you've done in your life, God's not through with you yet? He wants you to do what's right. He wants you to be used of him. And all you have to do is come back to God. Like David said, Lord, wash me, cleanse me, that I might do your work again. And God said, okay, David. You know, that's the way God is. To the Galatians, Paul writes, you know what? You did run well, but who hindered you from running? Paul's great fear was, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He says, you know, I don't want to mess up, and I have to keep under control. I discipline myself. Folks, it takes a lot of discipline. For he feared after proclaiming the word of God to all others that he would become unfit for use. We don't want to do that, do we? Now, after looking at all these people and all of these great vessels that I've mentioned here, what about you and I? Where do we fit into this picture? Is it possible that we have been marred in our life, that we're no longer being used by God? Think about it. Can we say, Lord, I've sinned. Lord, I've been marred. Would you give me a second chance? I believe you will. You look at the vessel that was mended. Friends, God's not through with this vessel. Jeremiah saw him take that vessel and put it on the shelf for a while, you see. And he probably thought, well, that's the end of that vessel. But no, it's not. He saw that potter pick it up again, broken and all, and start to work on it again. That's the way God is, folks. He starts all over again. Who would have ever thought that our God would be able to use David after what he did? Who would have thought that God would have been able to use Samson after what he did? Who would have thought that God would have been able to use Moses after what he did? Who would have thought that God would be able to use Abraham after what he did? Who would have thought that God could use Peter after what he did? And who would have thought that God could use us after what we've done? But let me tell you something, folks. God can use us. God, so the dead which he slew at his death, in Samson's case, were more than which he slew in his life. God used him in a greater sense at the end of his life. The Lord used David, and David wrote that psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And folks, that little Psalm 23 has been used more than any psalm that I know in the Word of God. And it was by a man that we would have thought would never make it again after what he did. And Paul, he said at his time of death, "My departure is at hand, and I am ready. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course." What about you? What about you this morning? When I was a kid, I had a little horse. How many of y'all know what a stick horse is? Man, that stick horse was my best friend. I rode that thing into the ground. I never had to feed that thing. But I never will forget, one day I was riding that thing, and I was getting pretty rough with that stick horse, and his head fell off. Man, I cried. You know what I did? My daddy. I took that stick horse to my daddy. My daddy was a carpenter. He was a good carpenter. And I told daddy my stick horse died. Never will forget, daddy took that old head, a mop handle, cut the head off of that mop, fixed that new handle up in that old horse's head, and stapled it and made it like new. My daddy fixed the problem. Did you know what? I was a vessel that was marred. But God so loved me that He took my life as broken into pieces as that old stick horse. And He fixed me. He put His Spirit in me. And He made me useful again. I'm so glad that I have a God who loves me enough to pick me up no matter how many times I fall, and fixes me and dusts me off and puts me back on the solid road and the solid rock to do His perfect will. Is that your life? You've been marred? You think, well, preacher, I've messed up so bad, I can't be used. Well, I got good news for you. You can be used. God can use you. He wants to use you. You know what you need to do? You need to be like David. David said this, "Have mercy upon me, O God. Wash me thoroughly from my sin. Purge me with hyssop. Create in me a clean heart. And restore unto me the joy of your salvation." If you will come to God and you'll pray and you'll ask Him to restore that joy that you had in Christ, that you lost maybe, friends, God will give you a second chance or third chance right now and pick you up and make you a useful vessel. That's what He does, folks. That's what He does. Would you come to Him today? I don't care who you are, what you've done, you can rejoice in the fact that if you're God's child, He's not through with you yet. He's not through with you. He don't make junk. He's got His hand on you for a purpose. And He wants you to come to Him just like you are. Maybe you're perfect. You're in the center of God's will, and that's the way I hope you are. I hope you're being used of God. I hope you're doing God's will. Everything's going well in your life. Then you pray for that person next to you. You see, we don't know, do we? But you pray for your husband, pray for your wife. Your wife, pray for your husband. Pray for your kids. Well, they're going through some tough times now. Pray for your kids. Maybe you're here this morning and God wants you to come to know Him for the first time. You've never trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. Then would you come? I'd be glad to share with you how to come to Christ. And maybe you're here this morning and you're looking for a church home and this is the place God's led you. Would you just come? I'd be glad to share with you. Whatever decision you need to make, you need to make it now. Don't walk out those back doors without making the decision God wants you to make, because He has a purpose and a plan for you in life. And it's a glorious plan. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You today for the Word of God. I thank You for the second chance, the third chance that You gave me. And Lord, take this vessel and use it for Your honor and glory. And if there's someone here that needs to make a decision, whatever it might be, may they come now. In Jesus' name, amen.